Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin Podcast. A wonderful, sensational, legendary, and I try to have legends on the podcast whenever I can. Legendary broadcaster, Mike Doc Emrick, using his nickname. Mike retired after 50 years of broadcasting, 5-0, and he did so leaving his mark on the industry, and he clearly left his mark on the industry. And people who weren't even hockey fans, you had to be excited, whether you became a hockey fan or not, when you listen to Mike Emrick doing the games. And he did games, whether it's Stanley Cup playoff games or regular season games, his enthusiasm, his excitement, the quality of his broadcasts were unmatched by any hockey broadcaster in North America or the world. He was that good. He's got some great stories. A career that where he did, where I believe he said he wanted to do baseball, and he did so in the area in which he grew up in, and then he got to hockey, and then he got to the Flyers, and then he got national, and Mike Emrick is truly, and when you call somebody a legend, and you say they're legendary, a lot of people throw that around. You don't throw it around with a guy like Mike Doc Emrick. It's a great story, which unfortunately couldn't be told in hours and hours. But he's got a lot of great stories and a lot of great moments. And Mike Emrick is truly a legend. And it's so much fun to have known him and have listened to him over many years, and it's too bad. There's a point where you say, and I think health conditions weighed a little bit into his decision to retire. He's fine. He's healthy now, but it's very difficult to travel to do the amount of games that he has to do. But here he is, the legend, and I say that in the true sense of the word, Mike Doc Emmerich.
Play by Gostis Bear, 25 to go. Gostis Bear led it back ahead for Couturier, and it's escaped going back up the wing. Led back over to Van Riemsdyk, he scores! Van Riemsdyk! Guided over to Couturier, escapes one, moves in, and a two-on-one, Couturier scores! Sean Couturier, and the Flyers win it in overtime with 3.4 seconds to go!
Even if you're not a hockey fan, or if you're a borderline hockey fan, the excitement that that man gives people and has given people for 50 years is amazing. Mike Doc Emrick. And when they use the word legend, some people just throw it around. Mike Emrick is a legend. Doc, good morning, and how are you?
I'm great, Howard. It's wonderful to talk to you. And if I can recall something in the same vernacular, when I arrived in Philadelphia, I took residence for a few days in the Stadium Hilton. You remember that?
Yep, sure.
Across the parking lot from Veterans Stadium. Mm-hmm. And there was a huge tower that was really used for advertising because you could have various advertising things flash on it. That was at the edge of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the signs, correct me if I'm wrong, that would flash up there was, listen to Howard Eskin. Afternoons, I believe, right?
Correct.
But I don't recall what the station was,
it was WIP.
In 1980.
It was WIP. Actually in 1980, it was WWDB. It was an FM station.
Yeah, okay, because I thought that the numbers had a decimal point in them, but
yes.
I do remember your name flashing up there, so even before I'd met anyone in Philadelphia, I knew about you. That was 40 years ago, so let's not talk about long legendary careers without including yourself,
and you probably were
on the air before then.
Yeah, I was on the air starting in 76,
so there it is, 44 years is pretty good. See, I've had 40 years doing NHL games. And 50 years if you count all the other things, including minor league and everything else. So good for you, too. Here we are, old geezers talking to each other, but you just don't look old.
You don't either. I got to ask where the nickname Doc came from. And I know you've mentioned this many times, just so people know, where did the nickname Doc come from?
Not very creative, because almost everybody that has a team doctor calls the guy Doc. I had a doctoral degree from Bowling Green, and it was someone you probably met at one time or other, although being a National League guy, maybe before interleague play you did not, Ernie Harwell, who was the longtime broadcaster of the Tigers, served as the non-academic advisor for my doctoral dissertation, which was on Major League Baseball play-by-play announcers. Byron Somm contributed to it as well, and this was in 1976. So there was a survey. Historical work was done in the library because nothing was digital and nothing was electronic then. You had to go into the stacks and dig things out and leaf through them. And Ernie conferred with me because I was at Bowling Green, very close to Detroit, and served in that capacity. And there was a survey done of guys like Byron Somm and a lot of guys around Major League Baseball that had been play-by-play announcers, either color guys or the guys who described the play at that time for a number of years. So that resulted in my finally earning the doctorate at Bowling Green, and out of that came the very uncreative nickname Doc.
Well, it's amazing that we in broadcasting do so many different things, and then we kind of settle on something. You were not a hockey guy at the beginning. How did it start? What was the sport that you started with, and how did you become the hockey voice of the National Hockey League for all these years?
Well, the ambition I had back at age 14 in this little town of Indiana, and it was just like Hoosiers because it was the same era in the 1950s, and we had a little bandbox basketball court with a stage at the end, and the band played on the stage just like that. And hard to believe that I played on the freshman team through freshman year, and then they realized I wasn't going to grow anymore. But basketball was crazy then in our town of 600. But I got to see my very first game in Fort Wayne. And up until then, I wanted to be a baseball announcer in the major leagues coming from this little town. And I saw Fort Wayne play Muskegon in the IHL, which was very much like the hockey was comparable to what the old Firebirds would play in the North American League. Not the American League. That was a little too sophisticated. The North American League was rough and tumble, and that's what we had in Fort Wayne back then. And when I saw that 60 years ago this December, I walked out of the Coliseum that night wanting to be a hockey announcer. You can imagine what my guidance counselor in high school thought when I told him that was my ambition. But you had to do other things along the way to get sure. to what you wanted to do. And so in college, I broadcast the football and basketball games of our college and got to do other sports like that along the way. But Howard, my ambition all along was to do hockey. And finally, in 1971 at Bowling Green, and later on in 73, when I became a professional announcer in Port Huron, Michigan, of that same IHL, I got to do what I wanted.
You know, there's so many, when we have long careers, we both have had it, there's so many memories. Can you define, 50 years is a long time. Can you kind of narrow down the top 3 to 5? Is there something that really stands out in your mind that, whether it was a game you covered, a moment, is there something that stands out for you, Doc?
Yeah, I think so. A couple of things. First of all, in terms of getting the break in your career, it was after 4 years in the IHL when our team in Port Huron was owned by the city. And you know, whenever that happens, it's a political football. And when you lose $300,000 a year in 1970s money, that's a lot of money for a city to lose and for the taxpayers to say, oh, that's fine. Let's have them back for another year. And it was Ed Snyder, who owned the Flyers, who decided that he had had enough of having to share an AHL team in Springfield and decided he was going to put a team in Portland, Maine, and he had a summer place up in Maine. Yeah. He decided, I'm going to put my own team in Portland, Maine, and I'll have Keith Allen get good players, and I'll control the entire franchise so that if I want to get playing time for certain guys, I'll get it. I won't have to share it with somebody else. So in 1977, he assigned the president of the Flyers, Gil Stein, who yes. later was the last president of the NHL, to go and spend the summer in Portland, Maine, and get the franchise going. And it turned out to be so successful between Gil and Keith Allen stocking it with players that they won the championship the first 2 years. Bob McCammon wound up being the coach there, wound up coming to Philadelphia for a short stay and going back there, and was behind the bench for both of those championships. And out of 40 candidates for the broadcasting job, Gil selected me. That was the most important thing career-wise for me, because the Flyers promote from within. And in 1980, I noticed the sign near the stadium Hilton that flashed Howard Eskin's name as I came to work for a company called Prism.
Yes.
That was a sports and movie channel that you paid for in Philadelphia, and I was there to do the home games on cable. And, of course, the legend Gene Hart was doing the games on over-the-air channel 29 and also doing the games on radio, but they wanted a separate voice for home cable games and somebody to share producing the road games with Pete Silverman, who had also been a sports talk show host on WCAU.
I worked
Pete
with
to this
Pete
day, by the way, is
teaching
broadcasting at Hofstra in near New York City. So I've been able to stay in touch with some of those people. So that was number one. And probably number two in my memory was probably getting to do the gold medal game between the United States and Canada in Vancouver in 2010. That was seen by 27 million people. And there are reasons that I think that game was most important, but I'm not sure how much time you have.
Well, that's all right. I worked with Pete Silverman at CAU Radio in 76. That's who I got a job with. I was his reporter when he had a two-hour show at night and I was the reporter. I was the sports reporter covering the games. That was one of my big breaks. But I did work with Pete. I remember him very, very well, and very important in my career as well. All right, so you do. I don't even know how many Stanley Cup playoff games you've done. Is there?
I'm not sure. I know it was 22 finals when they tallied it up this year, but I'm not sure how many actual playoff games, because there were a lot in the early rounds.
Is there a game that stands out for you, a Stanley Cup final game? It's really hard, because there's so many good ones. Once you get to the Stanley Cup finals, it's so good.
Yeah. I probably, for a nail biter that went right down to the end, game sevens are always magical.
Yeah.
And one that I recall, Bill Clement and I were doing 1987. And that was, of course, the year of the Easter Epic, which is documented in the book that I just finished, and Bill is quoted extensively in it. But that year was a magnificent year for the Flyers in terms of what all happened to them. They wound up having a dressing room clearing brawl in Montreal that you'll remember.
Yeah,
of all people, the very elegant and colorful Chico Resch and Ed Hospodar came out of their dressing room, because Claude Lemieux was always ending the warm-up by putting the puck into the empty net, and they wanted to prevent that. And for some reason or other, Chico remembers to this day, it meant everything to us that this didn't happen. And so after the teams left from the warm-up, Claude sneaked out, and he had Shane Corson as his running mate, to go out one last time and turn the net around, which had been pushed against the boards by Chico Resch, and put the puck into the net. And so the two came out, and then the Flyers two came out, and then everyone learned of what was going on, and they came out, and it became rather a prolonged nut show. And I remember Doug Crossman of the Flyers was out in his flip-flops throwing punches, and Mike Keenan, the coach, was physically restraining Ron Hextall in the dressing room, the Flyers goaltender, knowing that he would get in the fight and get ejected, and he needed him to play. Defeated Montreal in that series, went on to the final, and pushed what I still maintain to this day was the best team that I ever broadcast, and that was the 87 Oilers. They pushed the Oilers to 7 games before losing 3-1, even though Murray Craven scored the first goal in the game for Philadelphia. The Oilers came back and got 3 and had 6 guys that eventually went on to the Hall of Fame in that lineup.
Well, I was in Montreal when all that happened, and I went to Edmonton.
You probably caused it.
Yeah, I wish I was in it. But then Edmonton, and if I remember correctly, Hextall was the MVP for a losing team. He was so phenomenal.
Yeah, he was, and he got a suspension for swinging his stick and making contact with Kent Nielsen, and the suspension was tacked on to next fall because he was so essential to the Flyers. With all due respect to his backup, Chico Resch, it was not going to be the same thing. He was so essential to the Flyers that the league deferred his suspension to the next fall.
You know, Mike, when you think about a career, and then we never really want to think about the end, but the reason that you decided after 50 years that that was it, and I know it couldn't have been an easy decision. What was the reason?
Oh, it occurred probably around Labor Day. We were in the middle of the playoffs, and we had just made the turn into the third round, and because all of the staff was having to go to Edmonton. Some were already there. Some were in Toronto because there were 2 bubbles that existed. And NBC graciously allowed me to remain home because I had a few boxes to check. One was cancer. One was being 74 to remain safe here at home. Now, you're well aware, and probably your viewers are, that whenever there is a chat between the studio of a local news show and somebody out in the field, there is usually a delay of a second or so when they're conversing with one another. That's just normal. That's what happens. Well, you can't have that in a play-by-play broadcast. It's got to be synced right up. That can be done. it does cost money to do, but it can be done. And NBC decided you can stay home, and we're going to make sure that the technology with fiber optics and everything else I don't understand is right. And that not only made me feel in awe of them, but it also made me reflect back on the fact that despite the cancer scare and the surgery and all of that, that I've been so lucky over 50 years to have done all this travel, seen all that I've been able to see, and my wife and I still have our health. And this seemed like a good time with all of those round numbers, 40 years doing NHL games on TV, 60 since I saw my first game, to say thank you very much, this has been great, and to pop open a three-ring binder and start to write another chapter. It's just been a magnificent experience, but this seemed just right. And older people that I'd sat around having coffee with always asked me every year, how long are you going to do this? Then my immediate reaction was, what, do you think I should quit? And then I would do another year, and they would nod knowingly and say, you'll know when it's time. And it seemed like as we were in the latter part of the third round this year, that it was time.
You know, it's probably one of the hardest decisions that anybody has to make, but it's been a great career. All right, tell us about the book. Where can people get the book?
Anywhere books are sold, and online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any of those companies that sell books. And my wife and I have been and continue to be big animal lovers, and so all the proceeds of the book, every check I get goes 100% to hands-on care of animals. And immediately in the southeast part of Michigan, you talk to Michiganians and they hold their hand up to show you what the lower peninsula looks like. It's like a mitten. Well, we're down below the knuckle of the thumb. That's where we're located. But anyone who decides that they love animals can probably run into a veterinarian that has a secret fund like this for people that have surgeries coming up that they just can't afford to do. Sometimes vets do have a memorial fund or something like that that they can dip into to assist them. And we contribute to a couple of those around here. And if we learn of some sort of rescue from a hoarder, they wind up going to a humane society nearby. Well, they don't budget for 40 cats or dogs that have to be spayed or neutered immediately so that the problem doesn't continue. And so there are times that we will go to whoever is handling the spaying and neutering and pick up a bill like that. It's just what we do.
Do you have a website?
The other thing, too, is there's a lot of... I'm sorry?
Do you have a website you direct people to?
No. No. Okay. I would just encourage people to, if you buy a book, obviously 100% goes to that. I would encourage people to, if they have something they'd like to do like that, is to just do it in their own area. There is one group that we contribute to that do rescue all sorts of creatures, and they work with vets in our area. It's called DAWG, D-A-W-G. It's the Detroit Animal Welfare Group. And among the creatures that they help rehabilitate are not only dogs and cats, but ducks and turtles and possums. And I occasionally get a video from them of another creature that's been re-released into the wild, and it does make you feel good. You can't save all of them, but you can save a few, and that makes us feel good. So all the memorabilia and all the guides, remember when there were analog guides?
Yep.
They are in a storage unit, and so soon I will roll up the door on that and organize things, and I think the guides on their own aren't worth much, but if a Flyers fan, for example, offer on some platform all the guides back into the 1970s, maybe they would enjoy having every one of those all the way up to the time the Flyers discontinued printing them. And then you could look back and see how Bill Barber looked in his third year with the team and then how he looked in his last year, and look at all of the great Flyers and American League teams that they would put pictures in about. And anything that I would get from selling that would go to the same cause.
Well, there's no way that the NHL can replace someone like you, Doc Emrick, doing during all those big games for the National Hockey League and Stanley Cup playoffs and Stanley Cup finals can't be replaced. And I know we always feel there's somebody else, but I'm going to tell you, for most people that listen, and I think I said it at the beginning, people who are just borderline hockey fans or fringe hockey fans, when they heard you do a game, it brought the excitement to them, and they became hockey fans because of you. And it's hard to do that and bring that, and you did it, and you did it better than anyone else. And we'll throw a name in here. Lillian Wilder would have been proud.
She passed away in 2009, and she worked with both of us. And, boy, she was tough. She criticized more than she praised. Let's put it that way.
Yes, but she was good. She was good for me, and I know in talking to you, she was good for you. Mike, we will miss you. Hopefully we talk and we continue to touch base down the line. And the best of luck in the new chapter of your life. We will all miss you doing those National Hockey League games for sure. Mike, have it.
Sure is great to hear from you this morning, Howard, and I wish you well too as you get closer to 50 years yourself. You're almost there, young man.
I know. I'm trying not to think about it right now, but now
yeah, don't.
But people ask you, "Well, how long are you going to do this?" Well, until I don't enjoy it anymore. That's as long as I'm going to do it.
That's the best answer there is. You just keep going.
All right. Hey, Mike, it's always, always, always great to talk to you. And honestly, you will be missed not just by me, but by a lot of people who watch and listen to those games. Have a great
weekend.
Thanks
so much, Howard.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's perfect, isn't it? Happy Halloween to you. The day that Doug Favell painted his mask a solid orange.
Yeah, you remember it all. Hey, Mike, thanks again, and good
okay,
luck.
Okay, you're welcome. Take care, Howard.
All right,
go
you
on.
Too. All right, Mike Doc Emrick.
I do not know how Mike Emrick can be replaced. No, there will be somebody else doing those games nationally. There'll be somebody else that does the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup finals. There'll be somebody else who has done hockey, and I'm sure will do a good job. But it's tough, tough to follow a guy like Mike Emrick. And just to touch on the coach, when I went into television in 1982, back then, television stations really did care about the quality of the people that were on the air. And I had never worked television in my life. They hired me, Channel 3 in Philadelphia, because my radio show was so successful and I was opinionated and they wanted that, which is very difficult to find with television sportscasters these days, especially on local sports. It always seems like they're intimidated or afraid that they're going to get somebody mad. You got to tell the truth. That's what you got to tell. And you should have an opinion. That's what sports is about. But whatever. Channel 3 at that time sent me to a coach in New York. Her name was Lillian Wilder. She's written books. She taught at Northwestern. Mike Emrick had her as a coach, too. And she was a tiger, and she was tough. But I'll never forget some of the things that she taught me. I'm sure Mike will never forget some of the things that she taught him into helping you and with him, myself, and others become better broadcasters. Couldn't be intimidated by her. He might have been scared, and she might have been a terror. But the impact she had on things that I still do to this day still lasts, and I'm sure the same for Mike Emrick. Just to touch on that and expand on that a little further. But it's great to have Mike Emrick on. A terrific guy, great stories, and hopefully I'll do it again with him sometime. But thanks for listening to the Howard Eskin podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.